Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Thursday to you. You know what this is. It is Cigars with the Cave Show today, as we come to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. What's on the docket today? Well, we got a lot. We're packed today. I owe you my NFL rankings, or rather, the NFL rankings. I also, because we are not on tomorrow as we get ready for the holiday, as we're not on Monday as well, I owe you picks. But we can't get to any of that until after we get to our calls. And we have a special, special guest on, former NFL player for the Cardinals, the Chiefs, the Jags, Jamel Fleming, will be joining us in about 10 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk AP, we're going to talk Suns, we're going to talk baseball awards. Mitch Trubisky doesn't want TVs on. Or is that what he said? I'm going to get through that nonsense. And load management. So like I said, we have a loaded show today. And we are brought to you, of course, by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. 4991 South Alma School, to be exact. Get in here, check them out. 10% off your cigar purchase. Just let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you. You can become a club member, get a locker, backed up to a humidor. You also can check out every single game all the time. NFL ticket is here. Watch your basketball games. College basketball has started. College football, everything is on. There is a plethora of televisions for you to watch. They serve beer and wine. So have some adult spirits along with your cigar. All that right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School in Chandler, Arizona. Again, let them know that PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. If you skedaddle your hind pot down here before I leave, you can get 15% off. All right, everyone. We're loaded today. We got a lot to get to. I'm going to open up the phone lines early so we get a couple calls in before Mr. Jamel Fleming gives us a call. Thank you for calling the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR.
Hey, Paul, it's Lou.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
All right, now ask me this. Now, when you mentioned the cigar place, does that mean Trubisky won't go in there while the TV's on?
Stop.
Oh, boy.
Stop.
Sorry, I had to do it.
You know what, though? I'm glad you brought it up, so I'm going to say this real quick. What he said was dumb, and the optics of it were dumb, and the phrasing was dumb. What I think he was saying was, you got to turn that off, you got to tune that out. But the way it came across was, that dude is running around with the remote control, shutting off every TV in Hallett's Hall, which obviously this is in 1930, where when someone writes something bad, you go and buy every newspaper so no one can read it. So what he said was dumb. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that it was phrasing, but it sounds real bad. Optically, it's bad.
Yeah. I mean, it does sound kind of weird, doesn't it?
It does. And like I said, I'm hoping what he means is you got to turn the TVs off. You know, we're in here. This is what we got to do. The way he said it was, like, he's going to go turn all the TVs off. So I'm hoping that's not what he meant. I'm going to try. Since he can't complete a pass, I'm going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. Now, can somebody explain to me how Ohio State jumped over Alabama and LSU in the football rankings? For the playoffs?
I will tell sure. I can tell you this. This is how they jumped over. What are you going to do? We're going to talk about it, right?
Right.
Okay. So by talking about it, we're going to watch more football so we can prove that the team that we think should be number one should be number one. And that's all it is. Look, LSU and Alabama, I heard an LSU guy upset that LSU wasn't number one. If they beat Alabama Saturday, guess where they'll be next week? Number one.
Right.
If Alabama beats them, they won't be number one. It's as of right now, if Alabama or LSU wins out, if Clemson wins out, if Ohio State wins out, all three of them are in. So there's nothing to complain about. So all this is talk fodder. To be honest with you, talk fodder. Gives us something to talk about. Fills a few minutes when you're putting the show together. And I don't think it's a hill of beans, one way or the other.
Okay, I just thought, you know, Bama would be LSU would be number one, Bama number two, and Ohio State three. I mean, they're the ones that, you know, are fighting for, football supremacy, those two. And Ohio State's, on the outside looking in. So maybe
but
it's just me.
But why is Ohio State on the outside looking in?
Well, you're always talking about strength of schedule, and Ohio State has a soft schedule and whatnot. And, and Bama and LSU have been, fighting in the conference all year, so, there could be an argument about that.
Okay, so Alabama's beat Duke, New Mexico State, South Carolina, who sucked, University of Southern Mississippi, who sucks, then Ole Miss in their conference, they suck, Tennessee in their conference, they suck, and they beat a Texas A&M team that was ranked at the time. So which team has a bad strength of schedule? Oh, and they beat Arkansas. So they beat Arkansas, who's 2-7. Ole Miss is 3-6. And they beat who else in their conference, I said? South Carolina, who's 4-5. Okay. Who has the weak strength of schedule? Are you sure it's Ohio State?
Maybe I'm overlooking that. But, I mean, they played hard all year, and, I don't see how that the committee is taking Ohio State at the top.
Same reason. I mean, the exact same reason. Ohio State murdered a Wisconsin team that was highly ranked at the time. They murdered a Michigan State team that was ranked at the time. So if we're going to talk strength of schedule, Ohio State's strength of schedule is much better than Alabama's. Here's the problem. There should not be polls when the season starts. So when you put Clemson and Alabama and LSU all up there, now everyone gets mad when they interchange every week. Ohio State. Yes. If no one had a poll until week 7, once we eyeballed everything, is Alabama good? Hell yeah. Are they really good? Hell yeah. Will they beat a lot of teams? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
But at the same time, they haven't played anybody. And when people give me, well, they're in the SEC, they have those tough SEC games, they play the bottom feeders. So I don't know that makes them that. I'm just being honest. Clemson is taking a hit for not playing anyone. They scheduled Texas A&M right out the gate, who was a top 10 ranked team. Is it their fault that Texas A&M wasn't as good as everybody thought? Not their fault, is it?
No.
So we've got to be careful when we get that. That's why I said all this crap is going to wash out. All of it's going to wash out. When it's all said and done, you're going to have a one-loss LSU or one-loss Bama. Ohio State, Penn State is at number 4. People are freaking out. You know who Penn State's going to have to play? Ohio State. Someone's going to win. You know what? It's going to shake itself out. If Georgia continues winning, in the SEC title game, they're going to have to play LSU or Alabama. It will shake itself out. If everyone is just patient, it shakes itself out.
Oh, right. I'll agree with you that. I thought, well, maybe it's just me that was thinking, was there something wrong with this poll here? But now that I think about it, I guess you're right.
Yep. Shakes out.
Yeah.
Always.
And the college basketball season's off and running, and my Seton Pirates are off to a good start.
Yeah, they look good the other night.
Yeah.
They look good.
Of course, number 1, number 2, it kind of lived to the hype it was supposed to be, because most of the times, we don't get that lucky.
No, that's the one good thing, though, Lou, and I'm glad you brought it up before I had to jump from you. That's the one thing about college basketball that I love. They play each other. Because you can still – if you're 33-2, you're probably going to be a number 1 seed. In football, if you lose a game, they're wondering if you should be in the playoffs at all. And because of that, top teams in college basketball, they play each other. Coach Cal is
going
to play.
What I'm saying is that, you know, usually we can get the number one, number two, and top 10 teams. It doesn't turn out to be, you know, a game as, you know, we thought it was going to be. On paper, it looked great, but in the reality of the game itself, like a complete blowout. This one
was a good game. So it was 3-4. 3-4 game was a good game.
So
we're going to get that lot. We're going to get that lot this year, though, Lou, because a lot of teams are recruiting in the same base. They're all young now. You don't have a team with four and five juniors and seniors. All these young kids, they've been playing each other. They continue to play. But that's the story, my man. But listen,
question. I'll say it for Tuesday then.
Yeah, we're not on tomorrow, like I said, or Monday. We're enjoying the holiday.
Right. I'll save the comment for Tuesday.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your long weekend. Always appreciate the call.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, Lou. Lou, good friend of the program. Always good when he calls in. Listen, we're about to jump to my man here, Jamel Fleming, NFL, playing NFL for the Cards, the Chiefs, and the Jags. We are getting to him in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Joining us now on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Jamel Fleming, played for the Cards, the Chiefs, the Jags. My man, appreciate you joining the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. What up, buddy?
What's up, man? I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. Look, this is your world right now. Your show, I'm just here getting all the insight that I can get from you. So I really do appreciate you coming on for a little bit with us today.
Awesome, Paul. Appreciate you having me on.
So I got to ask you, we talk football, we talk basketball, we talk a lot of stuff. If you were voting, if you were sitting in your ballot for the NFL MVP, and I'll give you mine in a second, who would be your MVP this year and who would be the runner-up guy?
Man, it's kind of hard right now. Everybody's been having like that, you know, those randomly off games. But I don't know. I like Russell Wilson, and I know Pat Mahomes got hurt. You know, he was doing great. I don't know. Christian McCaffrey looked like he was going to be, you know, in there, and then they got blown out, you know. So it's – I don't know. I mean, who's yours, Paul?
You know what? I like Christian McCaffrey for a couple reasons, and I like Russ as my runner-up unless something changes. But I like McCaffrey because Cam has been out all year, and I'm not going to badmouth Kyle Allen at all. He's done the job. He has run that team, and he's done a very good job. But with Cam out, everyone knows that McCaffrey's touching the ball 25 times. It's in the game plan. Stop this guy. And no one has stopped this guy. And I think that something has to be said because he's not in a position where he touches the ball every second. He's in a position where you have to feed him. And when you feed him, that man's producing. So I don't like automatically every year the MVP just goes to a quarterback because that's what we do. I think we have to look at other positions. And if someone's killing the game, you got to give it to that guy.
Right, right. Yeah, I like McCaffrey, you know, but, I mean, they got blown out by San Francisco, you know, so it's I don't know. I mean, I like what Russell Wilson is doing just because, you know, he's carrying his team, you know. And at the beginning, it was all about the Legion of Boom and all that. And now, you know, he's doing it on his own, you know, with a okay defense and still got the same kind of receivers. And the running backs, you know, sometimes they do good, sometimes they don't. So that's why I like Russell Wilson, just because he's looking like a franchise quarterback. And, you know, you can only point to him now instead of just point to his defense.
He has Sierra. He can't have Sierra and the MVP. He can't get a man everything. He got a Super Bowl title.
I want both.
He got a Super Bowl ring. You know, he got that. He's got the MVP. If you give him that, he's got Sierra. The man can't have everything. Got to share something.
Man.
Tom
Brady ain't got to share. Tom Brady got a deserving right. Like, what money to him? Got how many rings does he have? How many MVPs? playoff appearances. I mean, Dynasty. I mean, he got way more. I mean, come on now. Why can't Russell Wilson get a little bit of piece of the pie?
I get you, but you know what? I think Giselle is gorgeous, and she makes a lot of money. But, man, he got Sierra, dude. Wait, that's you know what?
But he got a supermodel. Giselle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Supermodel,
Giselle, man, she the ace of spades. But Sierra, that big joker, he coming at you with the big joker. He sweeping up all your books with that one.
I can't see what's in front of her neck is super model, not just like a regular model. Super, she ain't just a model. You know what I mean?
I guess
that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. Brady got all of it. I mean, come on, let Russell Wilson get one. Just 1 year. You know what I mean? Let's let him get one. This one. This could be a deal, you know?
I hear you. That pass he threw, it seemed like it fell from the sky. And you were a DB, so I have to ask you, how hard is it for guys like Russ and Aaron Rodgers, how hard is it to defend them when it seems like those balls are falling from the sky right into someone's arms?
Right. Man, they're really, you can't really defend on that. I mean, that's the thing. That's what makes those quarterbacks great. You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, and, I mean, even Patrick Mahomes. I mean, those quarterbacks, when they're able to do that, you can't defend it. There's not a possible angle for you to knock the ball down. And especially by the time you realize the trajectory of the ball, I mean, they already caught it, you know. So, I mean, you have to literally go for the hand to break it up. But by the time that happens, it's too late, and they even caught it for a touchdown, you know. So it is super hard to defend that ball, you know. And a lot of people think, oh, it's the DB. No. Yeah, but you weren't able to defend it. He threw it to where only his receiver can catch it.
On the Gary Lackey Law Line, former NFL player for the Cardinals, Chiefs, Jag, Jamel Fleming. So, Jamel, here, when you lined up, what quarterback did you look at and you say, damn, it's about to be a long Sunday? Which one guy comes to your mind when you think of it? Out of all the ones you played, which was the one guy you're like, damn. All right, about to earn a check this week.
Well, the first one for sure, I'm telling you, the first one for sure is Batman Rodgers. That's the first one, you know, because he can move. You know, he's really good, you know, in the pocket, out the pocket. I mean, and he just has a different kind of trajectory, you know, with the arm angle and stuff. And the way that comes out, the ball comes out of his hand, there's nobody that throws the ball like him. I mean, it's literally like his arm is built to just throw footballs. And that's probably the number one. Brady's really good. I mean, and Peyton Manning, they're probably tied around there just because they're so smart with the checks. They know every defense that you're in. They know when you're disguising. They know it all. So those two guys, they're super hard to defend, especially Brady because he throws the ball out so quick. You know, your pass rush is not going to get there, probably this week. So, I mean, for those three guys right there, those are probably the hardest people just because they're so good with either they're very, very talented or they're just smarter than everybody.
So I heard someone say about 2-3 weeks ago, because the Bears are struggling at the QB position with Mitch Trubisky, who claims he wants TVs turned off. I think he said it the wrong way. I know what he means, but he can't run around turning off TVs because people talk about it. But someone said, after they played the Bears, we know he can scramble a little bit, but we can beat them if we make him play quarterback. And I've explained that a little bit, but what does that mean when you have a scrambling quarterback, when the team says, if we make him play quarterback, we can get him?
What that just means, like, you keep him in the pocket. You make him have to go through all the reads, all the progressions to get the ball out to the right receiver, to the open receiver, you know. So, and he has to see the defense, because when you scramble in, it opens up space. That's why Russell Wilson's so good, you know, because he's able to escape the pocket no matter what you're doing. And so when then coverages break down, people have to cover longer than what they need to. So if you can keep Trubisky in the pocket and make him sit there and go through each progression and find the open man, that's what they're talking about when they're making him play quarterback.
Is that an insult to the quarterback when he hears that?
Oh man, that is terrible. that hurts. I'm like, dang, they making you play your position? Oh my goodness. Like, yeah, so But yeah, man. I mean, Trubisky though. The thing is, like, I had Matt Nagy over in Kansas City, and you know, he comes from the Andy Reid tree, and I mean, he's great coach. And the thing is with him, like, he's gonna put Trubisky in the right spot, but Trubisky just got to make the throws. I mean, they're gonna run great, have a great scheme, great game plan. Trubisky just got to find a way to make, you know, get the balls in the receiver's hand. And once he starts figuring that out, I mean, I think too, like, he's still young, you know, and still, you know, learning and getting the feel for the game and everything. But, I mean, I think he could turn it around because he still has an arm, you know. He still can throw. He can still be mobile. You know, once he gets, you know, maybe a little bit more patience in the pocket and, you know, gets, you know, just believe in himself a little bit more, I think he'll turn it around.
Okay, so on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Jabell Fleming, former player for the Cardinals, Chiefs, the Jags. We have one rule on the Cave Show with PLR, and that's we keep it honest 100% of the time. Matt Nagy may be a good coach. He can't make squirrel taste like steak. Can't do it. You can squirrel. You can eat squirrel. It will never taste like steak. And mm-hmm. and Mitch, yeah, he has arm. Yeah, Mitch has feet. But you can't make that squirrel into a steak. And
right.
This is where I have an issue with quarterbacks being drafted high in the NFL and GMs in their feelings, as Drake would say. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. So if they take mm-hmm. a quarterback high, we saw this with Blake Bortles, they're going to ride with them as long as possible because they don't want to say, dang, we got the wrong guy, and let's move on. Mm-hmm. I'm of the belief when they're in their second or in their third year, like Mitch is now, you see what he is. Quarterbacks don't all of a sudden just get great on year four from year three. So admit you're wrong. Go out and get you a veteran. Maybe try to get Cam Newton because that's a guy that obviously mm-hmm. don't let go. Go out and maybe try to get Andy Dalton. Draft you another quarterback, maybe not so high, and see if you can develop someone. Because if the Bears waste that defense under a guy, and I just say it, look, I'm not in love. I didn't draft him. If you waste that defense on a guy like Mitch Trubisky running your offense, I think that's a real shame. And that defense is now going to start saying, we're doing our job. But damn, that dude over there, man, come on. Passer rating of 6? Come on, man. Give us something. Ooh.
Yeah, that, you're not lying, especially because you're a Bears fan. Like, that is true. I do understand that. Plus, it does tear down the locker room just a little bit by, you know, when your defense is doing as much as they can, but we can't score points, you know what I mean? Because then that means the defense got to keep them to 0 points a game. And that, you're not going to do that in the NFL. I mean, the field goal kickers, they'll at least make one, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know. I maybe Andy Dalton, you know, if they can get him, you know, or something. But other than, I mean, there's not really – a quarterback's a hard position to play. I mean, that's why year after year they have to get new ones and they try to find somebody in the draft. But, I mean, it's just a hard, you know, it's a diamond in the rough, you know. So, it's just – I don't know. I don't know about the Cam play, though. I don't know about Cam, you know, yet because I got to see Cam get back, you know, to him, you know, his MVP – like his MVP season where he's, you know, filling himself and getting the crowd going and running the ball, you know, because that's what Cam does best, you know. And that's what makes Cam unstoppable is him being able to run because he's just so big that him falling forward is like 5 yards. So, I mean, that's crazy, you know. So that's what Cam needs to do and show again. But I think Andy Dalton, because he can throw the ball and you know, he's a pretty good quarterback. So maybe, you know, but drafting a guy, another guy, it's really hard to just try to draft another guy because if he don't work out, then you might not work out anymore inside that franchise. So I don't know.
What makes – I just saw Matt Moore, who was selling shoes at Foot Locker a year ago, come in and fill in for Pat Mahomes. And we all know how good Pat Mahomes is. What makes Andy Reid – so good, where he could plug in a Matt Moore for a couple weeks, and his team still win until they could get their guy back. What? How does Andy do that?
That you know, Andy though, like he is such a great offensive mind, and he plays like the quarterback. Like he wants the quarterback to be you know, and you know, be themselves, you know, and not do too much, and his play designs. All the motions and stuff that he does and, you know, the trade motion, shift, this, that. I mean, that is why, he's able to get somebody and and plug him in. And then he has the weapons now to do all that stuff now. Like, he has, you know, all the receivers out there that can get open, run by everybody. You know, everybody runs a 4-3 on there. I mean, they're going to get open, you know. So now that's what – and then he has a great offensive line. You know, they're pretty good, and they've been together for a while. So if Andy can get his running game a little bit better like he used to back in the, you know, back in the past, if he can get that going again, I mean, it's going to be hard just to stop him just because how many people they got that can blow right by you. So I think that's why, you know, Matt Moore is able to come in there and do well, because Andy's going to play to his strengths, and he's going to get people open, and it's just hard to line up against the Chiefs.
I swear Tyreek Hill doesn't run a 4-3. That dude runs like a 3-5. He ran down his own running back last week. I mean, ran him down and passed. That dude is beyond fast. That just doesn't seem fair to me. I'm just being honest. That dude is fair. I think people can line up and say they run a 4-4. But once you put the pads on, there's some dudes that slow down. That dude isn't just fast. He's football fast. Have you seen
someone? I will tell you, his speed, because I was there the year he got drafted, right? And his speed is on a different level. So, like, most people, you're running with them, right? And you know when their top speed is done. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could just feel it. And his, he has that top speed, but then it's like he has another gear, or he presses a little bit turbo, and he just accelerates. And you just know it, like, you're not going to catch him. Like, you could just feel it. Like, oh man, is he going faster? That's what it feels like. It's like another speed. He just has another gear where it just turns up, and you're toast because you're with him for a little bit, you know. But then it's for some reason he could just kick another gear that people just don't have, you know. And that's what separates him. Just like that, you saw like how he ran his guy down. The corner was actually running with him at the beginning when you see him come into the screen. And all of a sudden, he just turned something on, and then, whew, and this was gone. So his speed, I haven't seen anybody, you know, besides, you know, when I used to run track in high school, you know, stuff like that. But I haven't seen anybody, you know, ever played against anybody that just had that extra gear where you knew you weren't catching them.
Yeah, man, I saw that, and I literally rewound the TV, and I watched it again, because I honestly, I didn't believe that my eyes saw what I saw. I was like, this dude,
the running back got
his own dude. Yeah.
The running back got scared. I thought it was somebody that caught him on the tractor. So I'm like, oh, man, oh, it's just you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was crazy. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, one and only Jamel Fleming, former NFL player for the Cardinals, Chiefs, and Jags, on the Cave Show with PLR. So, were you a trash talker when you were back there? Did you let them know, hey, look, this ain't your day today.
No, you know what though? I wasn't a trash talker, and a lot of guys, like, either they do talk a lot of trash. You know, you get the Jalen Ramsey, or you get the guy that don't really say too much. Like, most people don't. Either they talk a lot of trash or they really don't, you know. And DB is one of those things. It's easy to get torched, you know what I mean? It's very easy to, you know, slip up on a play or miss a tackle or, you know, anything. You know what I mean? So it's very easy for, you know, or the quarterback like Aaron Rodgers just drop it over your shoulder. You couldn't even – it don't matter if you was 10 foot tall. You weren't going to make the – you weren't going to be able to knock down the pass. So – you know, that's the only thing. Like, trash talking for some people, they feed off of that. Like, that's just dumb personality-wise, regardless if they play football or not. You know what I mean? They're going to be selling cars talking trash. You know, it doesn't matter. But that's just some people's personalities. But I didn't really do all that, you know. The best people to talk, you know, that do all that is the DNs, you know, or the, you know, defensive line. They could talk trash because, I mean, they get to just, you know, run right into people, you know, and
right.
If they're making a sack, you know, if they get a sack one game, if they just get one sack a game, I mean, they're all world. You got to think about it. They make one play a game, just getting to the quarterback one time. I mean, they're all world. So that's a position where, you know, you're talking trash. You know, I mean, everybody's doing that. All the DNs, you know, talk trash because, I mean, you make just one play. One.
And that's, you can dance, you can do everything.
70, out of 70 plays in a game, 70, you just got to make one. So that's the difference, you know, between positions. So, Yeah, it's, you know, so, I wasn't the biggest trash talker, you know, doing all that.
So I've only got a couple minutes left with you, so I got to ask you these really quick. Have you ever played, and you don't have to give a name unless you want to. If you want to, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played a wide receiver? And you just line up and you look at him, and they think they're good. And you're looking at him like, man, come on, dude. If that dude wasn't your quarterback, you would be selling TVs at Montgomery Ward.
That's a lot. That's a lot of guys. That is a lot of guys. Those are really the only guys I ever talk trash to. Those are really the only guys I talk trash to. Because I'm like, man, if you don't put this ball on you, that's the only way you're going to make this catch. You know what I mean? He's going to have to hit you in the face mask, you know? So, I mean, it's, you know, there, you know, that probably is the only time I ever do that, you know, is when they have a quarterback that just, oh, man. Because, you know, you're just going to be on them, all, you know, like white on rice all day, you know. But, but yeah, there's a lot of guys like that. There's a lot of them out there, you know, that their quarterback makes them, you know, and they really do. Because you see them go to another team and it's just like, you know, you never hear from them again, you know. And then,
you can't make squirrel taste like steak. Just remember that.
You can't.
Squirrel does never tastes like steak. So it just doesn't happen.
You can make it look like it, though. You can make it look like it.
You can make it look like it until you cut it. Then when you cut it, you're like, ooh,
oh, man.
Why does steak look different? Because it's not steak, man. It's squirrel.
Right.
So Alabama plays LSU. And I made this case. Everyone's the caller that was on right before you called in was saying he thought it was unfair that Ohio State jumped to the number one ranking in the playoff poll. What I said was I don't believe there should be polls when the season starts because a lot of teams are ranked high because of who their names are, not because of who they played. And his comeback was, well, Ohio State hasn't played anyone. And then I said, well, but take a look at this. Alabama's played the three worst teams in the SEC and played a week out of conference schedule. Now, we know they're good, but if you're going to tell me Ohio State played a week's conference schedule, then you can't say that and say Alabama should be number one.
Right,
so in
saying
all of that and saying that, putting it all in the big picture, does LSU have enough to beat Bama this week?
You know what's crazy with LSU? They actually changed. Like, I just can't believe it. Watching their game, I'm like, hold on, they look like the Big 12 over here, you know, throwing the ball around. I'm like, what? When did they change this? Like, it was amazing to me that LSU even changed their program and got a really good offensive coordinator, and they're throwing the ball around. I mean, they used to have Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham,
yeah,
and they never threw the ball like that. I mean, come on, how many people could tell me they really know who Odell Beckham was in college? I mean, come
True.
On, that. Odell was never Odell in college. Like, what? We didn't even know who he was, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, he was a good player, and he had all the talent in the world, but they just never, you know, showcased him like that. And, you know, it is amazing how LSU was able to do that now, you know, that they actually changed up and got that because they still had a defense and stuff that can still play. So being able to put points on the board now is going to be a game changer when Bama has to play them. But, but Bama, though, I went to Oklahoma. So, Bama, I just can't stand them just because, you know, they never got to play anybody. Like, they never have anybody to play. Like, their out-of-conference games are horrible all the time. Like, it's always, like, somebody, you know, Popcorn State University or something, you know what I mean? It's like, who are they playing again? And it's just, I mean, shoot, even we play, like, Army and Navy and Air Force. Like, at least we played even those people. And I know people don't give respect to, like, Air Force and all them, but those teams are actually kind of hard to play because you have to play the run and the pass every play, because that triple option and stuff they do. I led the game when we played Air Force. I led the team in tackles, and I was playing corner. And the dude only got one pass. So hold on. So what did you do after that then? Yeah, I made a bunch of tackles out of tackle the running back, you know, time and time again, you know? And I led the team in tackles playing corner. That's like, what? How is that even possible? Because they make you defend. Like, you have to defend. You have to show up in the run and everything. But they play teams where it's like, who is that team we playing again? You know, but so that's the only thing with Bama. I just didn't like Bama because I always felt like they got the easiest schedule. And then the only time they had to play hard is at the end of the season, you know? And it was like, oh, my goodness, you know? Like,
So
that's the only thing. I never give too much respect to Bama, you know. But
I'm with you. So real quick, I got to be completely honest with you. I said this when the season started. I gave the teams I thought could make the playoffs. I did say Oklahoma could make the playoffs, but I said, but every year they get me. There's always that one game that they should win, and someone comes up and trips them. Now, I still think they're going to figure out a way to get in. So I got to give you complete idea. Something I said. But I know I don't have any eligibility left. But if I could find one year of eligibility, you think Lincoln Riley could make me a quarterback and a Heisman Trophy winner? Because I'll be doggone if Jalen Hurts don't win that Heisman this year. And it's boom, boom, boom. If I just find a year, is Lincoln that good that he could even make me a Heisman Trophy winner?
You know, I didn't have Lincoln when I was in college. So, I mean, be honest with you, you know, I don't know about you. But I know he can make some other people, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. But he just plays to everybody's strengths, you know. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, I don't know about you, though. Your eligibility.
It's over.
Back your eligibility. No, it's over. It's over. But for sure, though, with Lincoln, like, you know, he just plays to the quarterback strengths. He's a great play caller, you know what I mean? So, the thing with Oklahoma that's been the most disappointing thing that I've been noticing is the lack of defense. I just can't believe it seems like they can't even recruit defensive players. I don't know what's going on over there. Like, that is the most, like, last year, oh, man, I have never seen Oklahoma that poor. Like, it was crazy. I mean, Kyler Murray did everything he had to do to win those games, you know, and even when they lost to Texas, I mean, he ran a 75-yarder, you know, they needed a touchdown, he gave him a touchdown, you know, but the defense just could not. Yeah, that I have never seen that before. I mean, if the defense was just remotely good, I mean, they probably would have easily been able to at least get back to maybe even the national championship or, you know, won a playoff game, you know, or something. But, yeah, with that defense, I'm not so sure if they're going to be able to do too much, though, with that, you know, just to be honest with you, because, yeah, I mean, Kansas State's always been good. Kansas State always plays, you know, Oklahoma good. They've always been like that. But for the defense, though, not to be able to make some stops in key moments, you know, that's the only thing, especially when your offense can put up points. I mean, I was – on the team when we couldn't put up points like that. But now, like with Lincoln Riley, I mean, he just put up points whenever they need to, you know, and the defense has been leaving them hanging out to dry, so.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, I do miss OU playing Nebraska. I think that's a damn shame that Nebraska bolted for the Big Ten, because those used to be some hell of a games I used to watch back in the day, and I loved watching that. So I'm still upset that Nebraska bolted. And it didn't help them because their football team sucks and their basketball team sucks. So, I don't see where it helped. Going to Big Ten to help your basketball program.
Yeah, you know what? It is kind of sad because I grew up on that too, you know, playing in Nebraska. And I got to play in the last Big 12 championship game against Nebraska before they left. And it is a shame that they're not going to be in the conference anymore, you know, or they're not in the conference anymore and all that, because that was a good rivalry too. And I think, you know, what's weird about Nebraska leaving for me is, like, I just didn't understand why they would leave. I felt like, you know, being in the Big 12, you have a rivalry against a really, especially like have that kind of Oklahoma against a good team, you're not like against, like, you know, Iowa or something like that, Iowa State or somebody, you know, or just Kansas. Like, it's actually against like a good team, and that's top, you know, we're always going to be ranked in the top 10, top 5 every year, you know. So for them to leave and, you know, and do that, that's just odd. I feel like that's what hurt their program, you know, is because they left and went to another conference.
Yeah, hey, you know what, like I said, they figured they'd get that Big Ten money and they'd help their basketball program. It's a whole different ball game when you're playing basketball in the Big Ten. It's a whole
it
different
is,
program, so. They're finding out, yo, man. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and the recruiting, too. I mean, you're not used to recruiting in those areas. So that's the thing, too. Like, I don't know if they just forget about that. You know, you're recruiting, you know, since you're in a now you're in a different conference, you got to, you know, you're getting different players, you know, from different areas now that maybe that your coaches are not used to, you know. Because
right.
my friend was over there. He was the graduate assistant, Jonathan Clark, over there at Nebraska a couple years ago. And before they got, you know, they released everybody and all that stuff and let everybody go over there. And, you know, my thing is like, yeah, you're just not able to get those players like you're able to now because you're in a different conference and they got to play different teams now. And maybe people don't want to be in the Big Ten, you know. So,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, we know this week is LSU versus Alabama. We know in the Big Ten is Penn State versus Minnesota, which is weird to say Minnesota winning football. But we all know the biggest game of this week is whoever lines up against the 10U Phoenix Sports team. So that's the game that we're going to be at. So they can talk all that other stuff they want. We know who has the big game this week. So that's all that matters in the end. So, yo, man, listen, I appreciate you sticking with us. I know I ran you a little bit longer, but I really appreciate you coming on and talking sports and football with me.
Oh, no problem, man. I always appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
Cool. We'll have to do this again for sure, and I'll make sure to see you Saturday. But before you go, do you have anything going on? How can people follow you? Like, what's happening? What's up with you? And tell everyone what's good with you.
Oh, well, you know, I'm just been, you know, I'm running some businesses and getting into some real estate and, you know, our kids playing football, so doing the whole dad stuff, you know, so go cheering them on, you know, and we got to win a tournament this week, right? So
yeah, we got the dad, that's it. This is it. Mm-hmm. Saturday is it. When you keep playing, lose, you go home.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, just be that that dad cheering in the stands, you know, yelling. Well, actually yelling at the kids. But, you know, I'm that dad over there talking trash out there, you know. But, you know, hopefully I'll calm down this week, you know, and, you know, so we don't get tossed out or anything. But, I'm just ready to see the kids play, and you know, hopefully they can win. So,
good deal, yo, bro. I appreciate you for real, and I will. I'll see you Saturday.
Yes, sir. You take care.
All right, man. See you then. Thank you. That is Jamel Fleming, former NFL player for the Cardinals, the Chiefs, and the Jags. Good to catch up with him. So I owe you a couple things. We're gonna split it up and do it that way. Let's take 15 seconds. I'll be right back with you.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
So let's get through these NFL rankings. Let's knock these out real quick, and then I got to come back and I got to give you the odds. Who's going to win? Because we are not on. We're going to enjoy that 4-day weekend. So let's go through these rankings real quick. 10-1. I'm not giving last week's because I messed up. But I'll give you this week's, and then we'll compare after this week of football. Number 10, I got the Vikings. Number 9, I got the Pack. Bad loss. They're still a really good team, but the teams in front of them, I like the way they're looking a little bit more right now. The Bills at number 8. The Chiefs at number 7. I got the Texans. Deshaun Watson, man. That dude is good. He is good. J.J. Watt is out on defense. Okay, guess real quick. Who's the running back? Okay. There you go. Who else is on defense? Jadeveon Clowney is gone. J.J. Watt is hurt. Who else do they have? Okay, exactly. And they're still winning. Why are they winning? One reason only. Sean Watson. Got them at 6. Seattle. Yeah, Russell Wilson. Man, how you going to get the MVP and Sierra? Anyway, Seattle is number 5. Down to number 4, New England, after they got their butts added to them by the Ravens. Got the Ravens at number 3. Listen, Tom Brady is still great. If you're down and there's a minute left and he's lining up, be scared. But he really has lost something off the fastball. It's not the same. It's not the same. Teams have figured out they don't have any big play receivers. And if you make Tom get these 12, 13 play drives every single time, you're probably going to hold him once. Not that he's going to make a mistake. Not that he's going to do something dumb. But you're probably going to hold him once. Him missing a big play receiver or a big play tight end is really hurting his game, because you're making an older quarterback matriculate his team down the field. I've been waiting to use that word. And it's getting tougher and tougher. He's not a spring chicken. At number three, like I said, I got the Ravens, got the Saints at number two, and until San Francisco loses, and then even if they lose, depending on how they lose, I got San Francisco. There you have it. Top 10 teams right here on the K-Show with PLR.
Hey, this is Javon Carter with the Phoenix Suns, and I am in the cave with PLR.
So the Suns are playing the Miami Heat tonight. The Miami Heat have been a surprisingly good team. And I look at this, and I always laugh when people say, well, who've they played? Whenever you talk about a team that's good or a team that's bad, and if a team is winning, they want to say, oh, well who they played? If we talk about the Phoenix Suns, it's real easy. This is a good team. You can keep missing on them because the first time they lose a game, everyone's going to say, see, I told you. Told you they're not that good. But they're going to lose a game. There's 82 games. Team is off to a 5-2 start. And before you hit me with the who have they played, I'm going to tell you who they played. They started off against the Kings. They just blew the doors off the team. And this is what determines to me a really good team. When they beat a team that they're, quote-unquote, supposed to beat, they blew them out. They played the Warriors. They blew them out. They played the Kings. They blew them out. They went to Denver and lost on the last second block, foul, block that wasn't called. They played the Clippers. Beat the Clippers. Played the Jazz. Lost in a game where they were outshot at the free throw line, 38-23. Went down, played the Grizzlies. Kicked the Grizzlies' butt. Came back, played Sixers, beat Sixers. So they're beating the teams that are good, and they're blowing out the teams that are bad. And the two losses they have are one-point losses. When the season started, I told you, you're not going to see these 40-point blowouts. Monty Williams is not going to allow that. And the one thing that I think that I've liked the most, they've tuned out all that crap. They don't care what you think. They don't care that they're getting some national pull. To them, it doesn't matter. Monty is not allowing that. And I had a conversation with someone yesterday because, you know what, I'd swing by the barbershop and get that barbershop talk going. Someone said, see, I told you they should have drafted Luka. I disagree. And see, when I say that, I'm not disagreeing that Luka's not a baller because he is. He 100% is. But for what this team is, and for the personnel this team has, DeAndre Ayton, even though he's suspended right now, was the right person for this team. Because by getting him and going out and getting a Ricky Rubio, you're allowing Devin Booker to be Devin Booker now. By bringing in a Javon Carter, you're allowing Devin Booker to be a Devin Booker. If Luka's there, I'm not sure Devin Booker is going to have that same freedom. So you could have a great player, but if he's not, if you're going to pair him with another great player, but it doesn't fit, I don't think that necessarily is what that team needed. So I think the Suns did the right thing. Like I said, if they played the Heat tonight, the Heat have been surprisingly good. They're 5-2 as well. They're scoring. They're defending. The one thing in the NBA I always look at, I like to look at point differential. And the Heat are at 7.1 point differential. The Suns are at 8.6. point differential. So what that tells you is the games they win, they win. The games they lose, they're not getting blown out. Or as we like to say, they're not getting bloated it out. So we'll have more stuff when we come back on Tuesday. I have a plethora of sound for you on the Suns. Let's transition back to football. Let me give you these picks for the week. I know you've been waiting. If you listened to me last week, you had some money in your pocket. If you chose not to listen to me last week, that is your problem, not mine. Let's get it rolling. Tonight, the Chargers play Oakland. Chargers are favorite to win in Oakland. I don't like that. I think Oakland not only covers the 1.5, I think Oakland outright wins this game. KC goes to Tennessee. Tennessee is a 5.5-point dog at home. I do believe Mahomes is going to play this game. Either way, I do think Kansas City is going to win that game outright. By at least 7. safe bet. Go with KC. Buffalo goes to Cleveland. Cleveland is a 3-point favorite. I'm picking Cleveland because this is a season game. If they lose this game, that's a wrap for them. Not saying that they can make the playoffs anyway, but if they lose at home to Buffalo, there is nothing left for this team at all the rest of the year. Give me Cleveland. Give me Cleveland to cover that 3. Actually, I take that back. Give me Cleveland to win. I don't think they win by 3, though. I think the game is like a 28-27. Buffalo to cover. Arizona goes to Tampa Bay, play their old coach. Tampa Bay is a 5-point favorite. Arizona going east, early game against Tampa Bay. This is a different team. I know how much they want to beat Bruce Arians, their former coach. I know how much Bruce Arians want to beat them. They are playing against the turnover maven known as Jameis Winston. With all that being said, as much as it pains me to take it, I'm going to take Tampa Bay, but I'm going to pick Arizona to cover the 5 points. Jets and the Giants in the Who Cares game of the week. Giants should win this game. I wouldn't bet money on this to save my life. They're a 2.5-point favorite. You pick it. Atlanta goes down to New Orleans. Atlanta sucks. New Orleans is a 13-point favorite. At home in the dome, they'll cover that easy. Baltimore goes to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a dog as well, a 10-point dog at home to Baltimore. Baltimore will cover that easy. Detroit goes to Chicago. Chicago's favored by 2.5 points. Believe it or not, this is a game I think Chicago wins. I think they cover. Safe bet, Miami goes to Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a 10.5-point favorite. They don't have a quarterback. Miami's going to cover this game. Carolina, Green Bay. Green Bay, 6-point favorite, coming off a bad loss to the L.A. Chargers. They're at home. They're getting Carolina coming in. Can they contain McCaffrey? If they can, they cover the 6 points. If they don't, they don't. I think they do. Give me Green Bay. Take the 6. Los Angeles Rams go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 3.5-point dog at home. Rams have been playing good as of late. Are they 3.5 points better than Pittsburgh? I don't believe so. I think they win. I don't think they cover. Minnesota goes to Dallas. This is really a must-win game for both teams. Dallas is a 3-point favorite at home. Sunday night game of the week, and I'm going to go with the Cowboys at home over Minnesota. Seattle and San Fran, I've been waiting for this one. Monday night, Seattle visits San Fran. San Fran is a 6.5-point favorite. I do think they win, but I don't think they cover. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle won. So in saying that, I'm saying take Seattle, take the points, and you should have some extra change in your pocket. Back with you in exactly 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So, I know we're getting close to clock time here, but before we jet out of here, got to get Gabby in to talk about what's going on here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. As you know, every Thursday, it's Cigars with the Cave Show. Gabby, for joining us today. Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining us today.
What's going on here? What's happening? I see lockers. I know there's an event. I know there's all this stuff happening at Maduro's.
So in about a week and a half or so, on Monday, November 18th from 4 to 7 p.m., we'll be having a really big Perdomo Cigars event with the one and only Nick Perdomo. We're doing a lot of great deals. You'll be able to get boxes signed from him, and he's just a really all-around guy, legend in the industry. We always have our locker memberships, which is $300 a year. You get a $100 gift card back and 10% off of all your purchases for the year.
And it's crap load. I almost used a bad word. There's a crap load of TVs around
yes.
for people to watch.
So whether you want to watch some football, some college football, some basketball, hockey, we've got it all. We got plenty of room for everyone to spread out, plenty of TVs. We always have the NFL Sunday ticket.
Hey, place me. What are you smoking today?
I am actually smoking a sample that I got from the owner of Warfighters Cigars. It's a veteran-owned cigar company. So I'm actually smoking their Corojo right now to test it out.
So if you come in here, you can actually support the troops
mm-hmm.
with that cigar, and you can come in and support the best habit in the world, and that's becoming a cigar smoker.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Gabby, I appreciate it very much. Thank you guys for having me. As
always a pleasure.
Cigars with the Cave Show right here at Maduro's Cigar and Tobacco. So we got a couple quick things to get into, and then we got to get out of here. We're down to the last 4 minutes, actually, less than that. So let's go fast break this out. Baseball, you're idiots. You have your awards at a time no one gives a crap. Put your awards during the World Series and or the playoffs and or the National and American League Championship games. Don't have it in the offseason, in the middle of football, at the start of basketball, where no one gives a crap who's winning your awards. People should give a crap, but you're putting them in a position not to give a crap. Baseball, once again, you're being dumb. Load management. I'm tired of load management. I've talked to some ex-NBA players. They're kind of 50-50 on it. Some of them are still involved in the NBA, so they don't want to really say anything. They've told me off record they think it's just terrible for the fans. It's terrible for it's they. One NBA player told me is absolutely disrespectful to the game of basketball because, and they're old. I know they're get off my lawn guys, but they said you didn't see in the old days, Wilt, Mike, Jerry West, Larry Bird, those guys taking a night off so they could be fresh. They said, if anything, the playoffs rejuvenated you, and they're not a fan of it. Now, I have a couple guys that online said, you know, that live on tape said they can definitely understand why, you know, the players are worth so much more money, playoff TV and all that stuff. But for the most part, I'm getting nobody like load management that played the game back in the day. I don't understand it. There's another guy that does sports, and he made a very good point when he said, if David Stern was still the commissioner of basketball, load management probably wouldn't happen. And that Adam Silver is more player friendly. They have more time between during the All-Star break. Season starts earlier. They have less back-to-back, and they still need load management. I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. I know NBA players will probably be pissed at me for saying it. Not a fan of it at all. And then lastly, Antonio Brown. What the hell are you doing now? Dude, how is it impossible for you not to have diarrhea of the mouth? Why can't you just shut up? And I mean it just the way I said it. How is it impossible for you to shut the hell up? So now Antonio Brown is out, and he's saying, I'm done with the NFL. They're unfair to players. They're unfair to black players. They're unfair. They're treating him bad. He's done with the NFL. Beat the NFL, yada, yada, yada. Dude, shut up. If you're done with the NFL, then be done with the NFL. Why are you still talking about the NFL? I can tell you why you're still talking about the NFL. Because he still wants to play for the NFL. He still wants to get a game check from the NFL. His exact quote, imagine conforming to a system, giving at 100%, see them treat me like this is unfair. Making money off my sweat and blood, blank the NFL. I'll never play in that S treat black people the worst. Clear my name and go beat yourself. Okay. All right. I haven't mentioned AB in forever. And being open and honest, AB was one of my favorite players. But he's an idiot. If you break up with a girlfriend, why go badmouth the girlfriend? It was just as much you, probably, as it was her. So why do you keep talking? Shut up. Let it go. Let me say that again. Shut up. Let it go. On Twitter, at the Sports Cave, on Instagram at the Sports Cave, on Facebook at the Sports Cave. Cave is always, always, always with the K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter, and you can get us at thesportscave.com. Cave is with the K. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thanks to Mel Fleming for joining us today. Thanks for the callers. Don't forget, we are not back until Tuesday. Maduros, thank you for hosting us. Until Tuesday, this has been the K Show with PLR. Everyone, have a great, safe holiday weekend.